Chapter 18. Do you want to know why we do this? Love. It's always love. Reverend Father Duncan of Washington, D.C. I don't want to think about what I said to Nick. I don't want to think about what he said to me. We clean the floor of his room in silence, refusing to look at each other. Then I hide in my own room to peel off the rest of the rotten parts. It doesn't hurt, the same way peeling a sunburn doesn't hurt. It's all dead tissue anyway. No nerve endings, nothing capable of feeling pain. I spend a minute or so staring at the collected shreds, all the little pieces of me. After I sneak out to bury the mess, I stop in the laundry room to look at myself in the mirror. My left cheek, or what remains of it, is a riot of tattered flesh and open wounds. You can see my grace fang and pale, receding gums. Even with my mouth shut, my tongue pulses in the gaps between my teeth. Saliva glitters in the dim light. I test my vowels, my consonants, my syllables to make sure I still sound all right. A bit garbled, but nothing I can't keep hiding. When I can't stand looking anymore, I put my mask back on, a thick fabric one that hides everything from the eyes down. With this, I just look tired, hungry, distant, not like I'm falling apart. I fall asleep early and wake up while the moon is high in the sky so I can go back to Reformation Faith Evangelical Church. I sneak out the courtyard gate and into the city where the stars still shine, the clouds still move across the sky, and nothing cares that I might as well be dying. It's a beautiful night. I could watch it forever. I can't, though. I need Theo the way I've always needed him. Halfway through the walk, I pull off my mask. There's nobody to hide from anymore. It's like changing out of a dress I ran in, like watching snips of dark auburn hair gather around my feet. Not quite sure what to do with myself, desperately trying to understand this new body, trying to figure it out. What does it mean? What does this flesh want? What does the world want from it? What kind of monster do I want to be? At least a face like this will make people think twice before making snap judgments about what I am. It's harder for someone to pin you down as a girl when they need a moment to pin you down as human. Theo is in the sanctuary, praying. In the front pew, hands clasped, head hung, and eyes closed. He's so perfectly still. He could be a statue or a corpse. The sight doesn't sit well with me. All I can think of is him whimpering for forgiveness at the foot of the altar in New Nazareth, the wounds on his back weeping blood, so lost he wouldn't answer even when I laid my hands on him and said his name. Here, now, I stop in the threshold and gently call. Theo. He doesn't open his eyes, but he says, "Back already? My supplies will last me another few days at least." I shuffle my feet. No, they won't. I hate that he thinks I'd only come back to keep him from going hungry. "Bad day," I explain. "I just wanted to see you." He pats the spot next to him, still not looking. Every eye of the nest turns to me instead, mouths opening and closing as if beckoning. I do as they ask, sitting beside Theo on the pew, and Theo settles a hand on my leg and goes right back to praying. I managed to find solace in prayer. I found respite in it, even if I had to force it. It's a chance to step away from everything for a little bit, in a way I couldn't get even when I was with Theo. I could follow along with the reverence chant, my own silent words, or the prayers I memorized down to their bones, and forget everything else. It was just me, the words, and the air in my lungs. The problem is, I always felt like I was talking to myself. All the other angels talked about their personal relationship with God and Jesus, how prayer was a conversation with their Savior, how they took the Spirit inside themselves and knew the Lord was listening. Even when I was little, before New Nazareth and the angels, Mom would take me to church and say, "Can you feel it, baby girl? Isn't it glorious?" I tried to feel it. I did, I swear. I reached for it, squeezed my eyes shut as tight as I could, and begged for it. I pretended I was stretching my hands out into the darkness behind my eyelids, fingers splayed wide, trying to find even the barest touch of something out there in the abyss, to feel the warmth Mom always assured me was waiting once I accepted God into my heart. There was nothing. Always nothing. Maybe that's how it's supposed to be. Maybe you're not supposed to feel that touch. Maybe it's always been a metaphor. God is an absent parent who demands loyalty despite never coming around, and I just have to keep throwing my prayers into nothing and trust He gets them. Or maybe I am just too broken to feel Him in the first place. So instead of prayer being a conversation, it became something else. A time to myself. A time to relax, to center, to set things right. Do I think He exists? Heaven, hell, all of it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. So I sit beside Theo and pray too. I pray for everything I can think of, for this world to hold together for as long as it can, for the angels to stay away, for all the survivors to make it another day, for everything to turn out okay this time. Oh Lord, we need You today and every day. Please lend us Your strength, lead, and guide us. Amen, Theo says out loud, startling me. Amen, I say in turn, even though I wasn't done. His eyes flutter open, and he looks at me, jerks back, and says, "What the hell?" There it is. I offer a smile, but Lord knows how it looks on my face. "Told you I had a bad day." Theo stammers, mouth uselessly flapping as he scrambles for words. "To fear and to keep," I remind him. "I know. God, I know." Finally, he collects himself. He blinks slowly, wrangles his breathing into something even. "Does it hurt?" "Not really, not anymore." I run my tongue over my exposed teeth. But my pain scale is screwed considering everything. He pulls me closer, hands lingering on my hips, shoulders, arms, cheeks, the way they always have. "Look at you," he says. "It's so soft it almost scares me. It's still you." "You don't have to say that. I mean it," he insists. "It's still you. I'll prove it." He takes off his mask and kisses me. "He what?" I push him away. "Theo, Theo, what are you doing?" "Kissing you?" There's a smear on his cheek. Flood rot. Infected blood. Seraph isn't contagious. Sister Kipling made sure it couldn't be transferred through any of the usual paths. Spit, blood, nothing. The way Mom put it, Seraph was always meant to bear the weight of salvation alone. It wouldn't do to have the gift of God's strength be diluted through the unworthy. It wouldn't do, she said, for an army to be half generals. Just like there is one God, one king, one leader, there shall be one Seraph. The point of Seraph has always been control. "That's not, you can't seriously." His face falls. "Do you not want me to kiss you?" I don't know if the idea disgusts me or intrigues me. Both, probably. I don't want to find out. You don't have to, but I want to. And I want to do other things, too. The way his voice dips, his hands tighten. Oh, God, he's talking about sex. I want to hide my festering face in my hands. This is you. This is still you. And I missed you. He cradles my jaw, and despite myself, despite everything, I lean into him. I don't care about this. It's still you. He's not lying. He is completely, utterly honest. I want to tell him how awful of an idea it is, how he'll regret it, how much I missed him, and I'll take anything he gives me. He says cautiously, I can kiss something else. My embarrassed laughter comes out as a squeal. Theo, do not phrase it like that. I phrased it that way for a reason. I swear to God, don't bring him into this. But we're both giggling, and his hands push under my shirt and find the edge of my sports bra and get under that too. He kisses my not-torn cheek, the crook of my jaw, all the way down my neck. He gets to the dip of my collarbone. I unzip my jacket for him. The quiet noise he makes when he gets to the soft skin of my shoulder makes me brace myself on the pew. It's just like it used to be. You're... Theo mumbles against me, fingers winding through my belt loops. Cargo shorts? I bite down a laugh as I fumble with the button. How sexy of me. He snorts. I put up with a lot for the sake of being into men. Men. I'm a man. Theo has seen me as a man from the moment I told him. I've always been his boyfriend, his fiancé, his future husband. Always Benjamin. Always me. All that gets reduced to an elegant, gay. That's kind of the point, Theo says. He kneels on the dirty carpet between my knees, and I missed this. I needed this. Jesus, I needed him. Let me do something for you, I insist afterward, even though I couldn't move if I tried. Theo pulls a pack of ancient tissues out of his pocket, which means he planned this, and I don't have the energy to be annoyed. I just wrestle my ass back into my pants and stare up at the ceiling of the church, where the ribs arch up toward the spine. Nope, he says. Don't even think about it. He climbs up off the floor to sit beside me. Been a while? I can't believe you. He brandishes the used tissue like a weapon. I yelp and throw my hands up. Still you, remember? He says. Still me. Yeah, whatever. The church is beautiful at night. The grace rustles gently, all their eyes half closed as if trying to catch the smallest snippet of rest. Night wind blows in through the destroyed front doors. The barest streams of moonlight shine through the stained glass windows. I can't stay long. There's no telling what will happen tomorrow, considering what Nick and I said to each other. At the very least, I need a few hours of sleep to tackle the inevitable shit show. Help me up, I plead. Theo pulls me so that as soon as I'm on my feet, I'm against his chest. He doesn't waste a second in wrapping his arms around my waist and pressing his face to my shoulder. I almost feel bad the Grace had to watch, he says. Almost. I laugh into his neck, right where I come up to on him. Call it payback for making me puke my guts out. Theo has no idea what it's like to puke your guts out. Not like I do. It's late, I murmur against him. I should head out. Theo snorts. Come on, you're gonna leave after that? I nudge him, almost knocking the two of us off balance, but it does make him let me go. You want me to stay and cuddle? Look, as much as I'd love it, I have to get back before somebody notices I'm gone. Do they have nightly check-ins, like a hospital? Well, no, but... He squeezes my arms. I miss you. I don't like the way he's holding me. I remember him wrenching my wrist so hard I screamed for him to let go. He was hurting me. He was going to break something. His spit dripping down my cheek and drying on the neck of my dress. I miss you too, I say, but I can't look suspicious. They don't take risks. And I'm making the Alk sound worse than they are just because I want him to let me go. He needs to let me go. They'll kill me if they find me sneaking out. Theo's grasp tightens once, just enough that it sucks the air out of my chest, and then releases. He takes a half step back, but it's not far enough. Benji, he whispers. I'm sorry. I'm the one apologizing. Why is it always me? It's late, I'm tired, and... Please stay. He sounds so, so small. The way he did in the balcony when he first found me. The way he did on the chapel floor, at his father's feet, bleeding out. He says, please. I say, okay, okay, can I just... Is there a decent place to go to the bathroom around here? I can show you. You are not walking me out to take a piss. Just tell me. He points me to where, and as soon as I am out of his sight, I yank open the back door of Reformation Faith Evangelical Church and leave. I do not look back. Not once. And when I reach the Atchison LGBTQ+ Center, it's burning.